Yeah, my name's Joe. I'm an alcoholic. The theme of this meeting, Together We Fly, is was the theme of the 1994 ICKY PAR held in Atlanta 15 years ago. So what we're hoping to do today is have a little bit of fun. We're going to have a speaker of someone who was at that conference, and then anyone. Is there anyone here who was on the 94 host committee? Stand up. Anyone here who was on a bid committee that year?
Yeah.
All right. It went to Hawaii. Anyone here on that Hawaii bid committee? I know they're here this weekend. How about, how many people here, just so we get an idea, maybe stand up, were at the 94 convention? And if Mike didn't get to you, there's a bowl up here, pieces of paper, put your name in it. That's how we're going to pick the speakers. And what we're going to do is we're going to have our first speaker. He's going to speak for 12 minutes, and then we're going to open it up and pick the names out, and the speakers will get 4 minutes. I'm going to give the speaker a one-minute warning, and then I don't know if you can read this, but it says applause. So when they get their 1 minute warning and then the time is up, very good, dumb and dumber. When they get their, when they actually go over the time, I'll hold this up. And then they'll know to sit down. And there was some suspicion that I would actually be not reading the real names on the pieces of paper that were pulled out, that I'd be hand selecting speakers. That was a key. So what we're going to do is whoever speaks, we'll pick the next speaker and announce it. So this, you know, we're above board here. So my speaker tonight is, before I call him up, Ron from Minnesota, is at his 28th ICKY PAR in a row. And, we wanted to have this meeting on Friday because, well, by Saturday, this is kind of how he looks. So to get things started, Ronnie from Minnesota.
Thanks, everybody. I'm Ron Schell. I'm an alcoholic. I came in here with broken wings on the 21st of July, 1980. And through this conference, which was in Atlanta here in 1994, my wings are mending. Our wings are mending. My wings, you know, I thought, I can't do nothing. I mean, no matter what people have said. And it seems like I could never fit in. When I was in grade school, I could watch the kids play on monkey bars, play tackle. But I would sit on the sidelines because I couldn't handle it. High school, I could watch them play football. But there again, I couldn't do it. And just because of my cerebral palsy, I was born with a slight case of it. But that don't stop me because I'm here today. And so then I tried to get in the Navy right after my friend was killed in Nam. And they didn't, so I thought, well, what the heck, I'll go out and get drunk and raise cane with the boys when they come home from Nam. And that I did do. I got married, divorced, And that's when my drinking really took off. And finally work got serious. They said, will you volunteer? Will you come into treatment? I said, well, sure. I can go to work during the day. No, they wanted me to do time. So I went into treatment on the 21st of July, 1980, and I haven't had a drink since. Thank you. And it's because of this conference here. I was just about a year sober when I went to my first Icky Pa. And it was awesome. I slept in the hallways that night. Because I'm totally powerless over this conference. Because I will go wherever it's held. What the heck? We did anything we could to get our booze. Why change? Why change? And so then I remember at my first Icky Pa, it's about 2:30 in the morning. I says, this is my first Icky Pa, but this is not my last. And then the big crowd just roared, and I'll never forget that. And that's when my wings have really began to mend. All my wings are mending right here at this conference, because together we fly. Solo, I couldn't fly at all. I couldn't even get off the ground. But with the conference in Atlanta, I can get off the ground. We can fly to different states for this convention. And for you first timers, if you're overwhelmed, hang in there, because someday you'll be up here. And they can take pot shots at you, lovingly. And then in 94, we come to Atlanta. And it was great. It was in this hotel. And then after that, we went to Hawaii and so on down the line. So then we come back to Atlanta. Sort of like a boomerang. When you throw it out, we go out, and then we come back home. And this has developed into a type of reunion. Because this is the only time I get to see you people. You know? This is the only time we can come together as one to mend our wings. And our job to do is to go out, spread our wings, and fly when we get home. Tell our home groups about it. You know, sure, we may be a little nervous. We think, I can't take the chances. Well, take them. You take it when you were drinking. You know, why change? And that part in the big book that says, there is no easy or soft way. You know why they put that in there? Because this is the easier, softer way to mend our wings. It sure beats going out there trying to do it alone. What's more deal than to come here and mend them? And I had occasion 3 years ago, my dad died. And you people helped mend my wings. Because I had him play Amazing Grace at my dad's funeral. And the reason I wanted that is because of you people. Because that's what we always used to play sing at the end of the conference. And the last few years, we haven't done that. And I wish we would get back to that at the spiritual meeting. So just hang in. This conference means the world to me, and I will be at the next one. You know, and if you people are here and you didn't put your names in it, take a chance. Spread your wings. And when we spread our wings like this, we can fly to our next icky pot. I'm just about out of time, but in short, you guys have helped me do so much. Never in my wildest dreams have I thought that I would be up here talking, leading a meeting. And so one of these times it's going to be your turn. And the reason we can, reason I say that, I started out, I just kept coming, we keep coming. And each year our wings get a little stronger. And this year my wings are stretched straight out. And I can fly. And that's so special. So I don't know how much time I got left, but 4 minutes? I'm baffling then. So, but you people, how many, let's put it this way, how many of you people have ever dreamt of going on vacation with a whole bunch of people? How many of you, okay, you're doing it now. And do you know what the neatest part about it is? We'll never have to ask somebody to go with us on vacation. We just show up. And if you guys do it, because you guys are going to make some wonderful friends, you're going to be able to spread your wings. And you're going to be able to fly with the rest of us. And I really hope that I see a lot of you people at next year's convention. Because I know I'll be there. And this is beautiful. I'm going to let you guys know. Here's when you see some other, here's some good stories. I know I'm probably will get barbecued. But remember, I got my first shot. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie. Now, I know some people came in late. Do we have that picture? Did you want to show it one more time? That's by Saturday night. That's Ronnie. Thank you, Ronnie. All right, so we're going to get things kicked off here. And again, if you came in late, we have a little bowl here. If you're at the 94 convention, put your name in, pick it. Maybe you get 4 minutes to share. I'll give you a 1 minute warning, then we'll hold up the applause sign. Ronnie, you want to pick the first one?
Yeah.
Kim W.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Kim. And good to hear you. Thank you very much. I don't really remember a lot from 94 conference because I had my 3-month-old son, and there was a lot going on. But I was sober. My dry date is October 7th, 1984. So I was 10 when I got sober. No, I'm just kidding. I'm funny, aren't I? And it's all the energy, you know. And when I had asked my boyfriend if he wanted to come to this, he goes, you know, can we? You know, do we have to chaperone? And I said, no. But it's, you know, seeing Joe and seeing other people from Worcester here and seeing John from, I think it was the Atlanta conference, just running into people that are still here, still doing the same thing that I'm doing, you know, not drinking a day at a time and going to meetings and asking for help. And, you know, when I go back home and sharing the experience of coming here, and it's just, I can't dance the way I used to, but I tried last night. But I also don't overdo it anymore. I don't stay up until 3 in the morning and be like, oh, you know, can't move, because I take care of myself today. But I don't know. It's just it's great being here, feeling the energy, and have fun. Thanks. Lynn T.
Hey, I'm Lynn. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
there you go. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I love every one of you. God, I thought it would be a little while. I cannot even really put this into words what it means to me to have this Ekipa here this year, and to be part of your host committee. When Ekipa was here in 1994, some of you have heard me share this, I had right around 30 days sober. And I walked into these rooms of Ekipa at this very hotel, not knowing a single soul. And I was really, really fortunate that my dad had gotten sober about 7 years prior to my getting sober. And, you know, he just called me up from Memphis and said, hey, there's a bunch of young people going to this conference. You need to go. And I said, okay, I'll go. And what I remember is, and I was in that ballroom back there, I remember walking in just as they had turned the lights out and they put Bill Wilson's picture up and they started playing a tape of him reading How It Works. And I stood up against the back wall, slid down to my butt, and just started bawling because I was home. And I knew I was safe and I knew I was exactly where I needed to be. And what you guys did for me that weekend, I can never repay. And that was the kickoff of my sobriety. And I have to tell you that last night, I got to stand in the back of the room all by myself, working the lights, being a part of, and being part of the host committee for the same place that helped get me sober 15 years later. And my sobriety date is March 14th of 94, because I did not go back out after this, after Ekipa here. So I just, oh my God, it's amazing. The other really cool thing is talking, you know, my sponsor family is really big on passing the legacy of Alcoholics Anonymous on, you know, through sponsorship and through experience and experience, strength, and hope. And my sponsor today, you know, I didn't know it at the time because I didn't know anybody up on the stage. But my sponsor at the time was the chair of Ekipa here in 94. Or my sponsor today was the chair of Ekipa in 94. And what a legacy, what full circle to be able to be sitting in the rooms with her today. You know, being able to do part of what she did back then and being able to give back. And that's amazing. The last thing that I'll share too is it was really cool. The banner that we have hanging up there was also sitting in her house 15 years ago. And that got to go in my new house that I just got. And I got to hold that banner in my guest room for the last month. And that was really awesome. So I can't say enough. I can't repay you guys for what you did. And thank you for coming back to Atlanta and giving us the opportunity to serve you the way you served us. So thank you. Sally C.
I'm Sally. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. Love you guys. I have to echo absolutely everything Lynn said about what an honor it is to help put on the IKIPA after coming to one right here in this building that so many of you worked on. For me, I was a year and 8 months sober when I came to that IKIPA. I had moved to Atlanta just a little bit before that, and it was the coolest thing. I had no idea IKIPA was coming here when I moved to Atlanta, and my sponsor, Allison S. at the time, now Allison G. from New York, she was here like just days after I moved here, and she let me sleep on the floor of her hotel room in this hotel, with a friend of hers, Nellie, who hadn't met me, didn't know who I was, and next thing I'm sleeping on her floor like so many of us have over the years. But I remember that at that time, if you called my name and told me to come up here, I would have not been able to even speak. I would have turned bright red, which I still may, and I would be like sweating profusely because I was so, AA has done so much for me that at the time, you know, I hadn't had the courage and hope and faith that being a part of AA all these years has helped build. And so I remember being afraid at IKIPA 94. I was overwhelmed by how many people were my age. I was used to hanging out with a lot of older people and really didn't know. I mean, I drank to be able to hang around with people my age before that. So to try to learn how to be around people my age, and so many people around my age, was just overwhelming. And, you know, it's a journey and I'm still learning. And I appreciate that young people's conferences give such an opportunity to grow and serve and learn about AA. And for me, this one's kind of probably a little bit of a retirement party from my young people's service. But certainly IKIPA 94 started it because y'all let me work for 2 hours at the registration table. And this year I've had the honor to serve as co-chair. You know, went on from that, fired up, worked on a couple of IKIPA bids, IKIPA with some people that are right out here like Reed. We were on advisory council, and it's kept me sober. You know, it's not the only thing that keeps me sober, but because we all know what the rest of the mix is, but it's definitely been something that I could always come back to and have fun with and make lots of friends. Like Tina, who led a whole bunch of people out to a dance club one night at IKIPA 94. And probably will do that again tonight or tomorrow night if anybody wants, although our dances do go to 3. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Great idea to have this meeting. John G. of New York.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, my name's John. I'm an alcoholic. Love you all, too. It's a miracle to be up here. I got sober in January of 87, and my first IKIPA was Boston. And Boston IKIPA was out of this world. It was insane, incredible. And the energy and the spirituality and the friendship and the people you got to know just made me want to look forward to that next conference. And that helped me keep me sober every single year because I wanted to go to another conference, another IKIPA, you know, and see people and know people. You know, and in this room alone, I probably know, or at least know their faces, about 15 to 20 people. And it's incredible that we're able to be here and stay sober and not be maniacs, you know, and go out and destroy things. Because if we were drinking, forget about it. You know, forget about it. And Atlanta, Georgia was a great conference when I was there in 94, you know, and I met a lot of people there, and I experienced all the strength and everything there that I did at Boston, you know, and our life goes on, and we get to experience more and more and more, you know, and I treat it as a vacation, you know, and as to see people, you know, and enjoy them and experience life. And I just like to thank you for this meeting, and thank you very much. George Smith.
My name's George Smith. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Dignitary Sympathy Group of Northborough, Massachusetts, from Boston. And, wow. My sobriety date is July 10th of 1980. I'm a big wuss. I cry at phone company commercials, so here I go. But my sobriety date is 1980. I was 19 years old. I was a beaten and abused guy when I got here. I was beaten into a state of reasonableness that got me to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on a Friday night in Dorchester at BC High. And I thought I was the youngest person in all of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was close. And everybody in AA was fat and old and had gray hair. Be careful what you don't want. And I was very, very unique. You know, you never drank with me. You never did the things I did. You didn't know anything about me, and you couldn't have understood my problems, because I was very different and very unique. And that didn't change much in the first few years of sobriety. And then I got to my first IKIPA. I was 6 years sober when IKIPA came to Boston, and I was living in a house. I was living in this insane apartment, you know, four-room apartment with 16 alcoholics in Boston. And they were all young people, and they all went to Miami and tried to get me to go, and I didn't want to go. And they came back and told me that they had gotten a bid, and it was coming to Boston in 87. And I walked through the door of my first IKIPA. I'm still a really hurting guy, still with a lot of pain and a lot of resentment and a lot of things I was holding on to, a lot of my past. And I walked to IKIPA at the Puck Plaza Hotel in 1987 and got a little taste of what it really should have been for me growing up, what I really should have gotten from my parents and from the people that love me, the things that I passed up because of my family circumstances and because of booze and drugs. And it got a little bit better. I have to say it got a little bit better, getting involved in service, getting involved in young people's. And then in somewhere in early 94 or late 93, I got a letter from Patrick P. And it said that you're invited to come and speak at the International Conference of Young People in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was the Saturday night banquet speaker. And I was a very angry little queen. You know, I really had a lot of anger. I was really still waiting for you guys to tell me that I didn't belong here and I couldn't stay. You know, and that waiting for you to tell me that there was some reason why I couldn't be here. And that didn't happen. And, you know, I can tell you that in this last few years, I know I belong here. I found a God in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I found God through sponsorship, and I can't tell you what my life is like today, but I can show you. That's what I do today. I don't talk from the podium about what my life is like. I show you by sponsoring you, and you can find out. If you want to find out what my life is like, come sit at my kitchen table, and I'll show you how I did this and what was given to me over the last 28 years. And thank you for my life.
Thank you.
D.
Hi, I'm Dee. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. Thanks. Very nice. Thanks. It's good to see people. It's good to be here. I haven't actually, last Icky Pie I was at was this one in 1994. And thank you. My home group is the Providence Basic Young Peoples, and my sobriety date is August 4th, 1990. I got sober when I was 17 years old, and I was thinking when I was sitting there and listening to George and other people share, my life is not the same as when I walked in here 20 years ago. When I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 14. And I wasn't ready, and I was angry, and I didn't want to be here. I was full of denial, and, you know, and big chip on my shoulder. I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I had all the answers, and, you know, but for the grace of God, I got sober at 17. And but I still, you know, when I think about where I am today, you know, when I came to this Icky Pie when I was 21 years old, I was scared. I was scared, and I didn't understand this disease, and I didn't want anybody to talk to me, and I was a pacer. I paced a lot, and I'd walk circles and make sure no one talked to me, and because I didn't know what to say. I had no idea. I didn't think I had anything to offer. I hadn't worked the steps. I was running through sponsors, groups, this, you know, and I did that for a long time, and my life today is not like that. You know, I have a sponsor who I love that has taught me to get closer to a God of my understanding, you know, brought me through the steps, and we continue to do step work today. You know, I've stopped pacing. I can actually sit still. I can look people in the eye. I can have a conversation. I can be okay with me. The energy was the main thing that I remember about being in this convention, just the energy. And I feel it today too. Like I came this morning and, you know, and I met a friend up the street and went into the diner and all my friends were there and it was just exciting to be here. And that's what it's about, you know, but it also for me today, it's about recovery. It's about living in the solution. You know, I've been to many, many conventions, and it was always about chasing other things, and it was never about actually, like, chasing recovery, if you know what I mean. And so it's a little different, you know, more of an adult today. And I'm very grateful to be here, very grateful to be here with all my friends and to be a part of something so much bigger than me. You know, if I can just, you know, being a part of this is I just think, pretty incredible. So I'm just blessed that it all fell into place. So thanks.
Just for anybody who came in late, if you're at the 94 Icky Pie, we have a bucket up here. You put your name in it. And the speakers are getting 4 minutes. I'll give you the 1 minute warning, and then I'll hold up the applause sign.
Mike the Hip, New Jersey.
I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. This was, you know, the other day I was upstairs alone, not speaking to anybody for about an hour. And I got here, and it was such an overwhelming sense of gratitude because this was the first road trip I took in sobriety. I met Joe and John over here and a few other people in 93. And at that time, I had a cane because I was getting over a hip replacement. Well, here we are in Atlanta, and in September, they got to do it again for a third time. That's where the hip came from. They would scream like hipsters in a house and insane stuff like that. And it would be usually this gentleman to my, I guess my right, would do that. But I don't remember much about 94 because I was still insane. I was about 4 years sober back then, and I don't remember much at all. I don't remember who I roomed with. But all I remember was that this place was hopping from the minute we walked in. I do remember the Bill and Dr. Bob speaking, or Bill Wilson tape. I remember that. I remember going across the street. There was a diner, and they didn't know what to do with 300 people. It was a little coffee shop. These people were overwhelmed that day. I do remember people thought I was nuts because I came in, and there was a Budweiser convention going on that week before we got here. And I walk into the lobby, and there's this big sign, "Welcome Budweiser." Me, Mr. Sobriety, walk up, "Get that down. We got people that are trying to get sober." All of a sudden, two guys came out with a ladder, and down came the banner. And then people looked at me like I had three heads. But life has sure changed over the years. It has really, really changed for me. I'm coming up on 19 years. I've had to put half my family away because they couldn't get this stuff, so it got them. From a suicide to AIDS and you name it. And you know, to the newcomers especially, whatever life gives you, don't drink. You don't have to. Go to a meeting. Go to two. Go to three like I had to do. Each one of them died within 12 hours I was there. Here's the weird part. I'm still here. And they're looking down on me, you know. But this is overwhelming. I look around and I see all the people that were here when I started. When we got here, we had black hair, we had brown hair, we were thin, and now some of us are glued, some of us have no hair, some of us are gray, some of us have gray hair, some of us have gotten heavier, but the main thing is, we're still sober, we're still here for the youngsters, and you know, today I hear the music, I'll go, "Oh, that's great, let's go to another room so we can talk," where 15 years ago we were in it. Now, I know my time's almost up, but we have a good friend of ours that, for various reasons, couldn't be here. And about 7 years ago, Billy Noonan did this for me. So let me use the cell and try and get him, and we can welcome him.
You got 50 seconds.
Yeah, I'll get it. Well, it's going to take that long for him to pick up. But his name is Mike B., and when we get him, we'll welcome him. I don't have that. Hi, Mike. We love you, Mike. Lots and lots and lots. And whole bunches. Next best. Guess it's the next best thing to be in here, huh? Okay.
Thank you.
A lot of changes.
Hey y'all, I'm an alcoholic, Stevie C. We've had a request to make sure you turn off all your cell phones so we don't, no, just kidding. Man, this was my first Icky Pop, and I haven't missed one since. I got involved with my Maryland State Young People's Conference, and I saw a flyer for Icky Pop, and I wanted to go. I couldn't find anybody else to go. But there was a bus of kids that were, we rented a bus, and came down. We were bidding for Icky Pop. I didn't know any of these kids, and I came down, and this was happening. It was crazy. And I got involved with these bid kids. They said, "Get up on the stage with us for the bid." I didn't know what was going on, but it was crazy fun. I do remember walking through the lobby, and Mark Ivey came running through with his Houston kids, and he saw that I was kind of like looking around like I didn't know what was going on. And he said, "Come on, you're coming with us." And he sold me a Hickey Pot t-shirt for $50. No. And, you know, I run around with him the whole time. And what else? George speaking. I remember they had too many people in it for the ballroom. So all these people wanted to come into the meeting. And everybody started going, let them in, let them in, let them in. And then somebody came up and said, if we let them in, the fire marshal's going to shut this thing down. So everybody started chanting, keep them out, keep them out, keep them out. And Eddie Kipan went on, and Hawaii won it, and the advisory council came out with silly string and coated their table, and you know, it's a pile, 10-foot pile of silly string. And what else? You know, for the bid cities, I remember one time, this is a very clear memory for me, coming down the escalator and seeing all the bid cities. They were on the concourse. They weren't in a room. And you know, there were bikers. There were a lot of bikers here that year. And young people and old people and gay people and straight people, all different kinds of people, bongos, people making fuzzies over here. Remember fuzzies when they were really big? You know, and I'm coming down the escalator seeing all these people all over, all different kinds of people, and I knew I was home. I knew this was where I wanted to be. And, you know, I've been coming ever since. The Together We Fly, I do remember in the program there was a little story about the ducks. You all know that story? That when ducks fly, you know, they fly in a pattern, they fly in a V, and if one duck gets hurt and falls down, another duck goes and stays with that duck until it's either better and can fly again or dies. And that's kind of what we do in AA. You know, we help each other, and we follow one another, and we stick with each other, and that's the unity part that keeps us together. And, you know, looking around, I've got friends in here that have known me for almost all my sobriety. And, you know, you guys, I learn from you guys. I come to you guys with my life problems. I come to you guys with my sobriety problems and all kinds of problems. And I love all you guys, and you know, the friendships that we make here are just incredible. And you know, I hope to keep coming back. I'll see y'all soon. Tina Dahl. I wanted to say also, I know it might not be traditions and stuff, but I'd love to get a group photo of anybody that was here after the meeting. We'll do it off to the side. So.
All right. I'm Tina. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. I love y'all, too. I got sober in July 6th of 87, and my first Icky Paw was in Cleveland in 92. And then my next one was Atlanta, and I had moved to Atlanta in 93, and I had about 7 years of sobriety. And, you know, the funny thing is that conference, I didn't do any service. I played. I ran around. You know, I did all the things that selfish people do. And, you know, staying up all night, I just remember how wonderful the conference was. And I'll tell you, you know, the Saturday night meeting finally hit me. And when they were doing the countdown, I finally realized that it wasn't about me, that it was about the newcomer. And it was about that person who picked up that book, and that we were here together and sober. And ever since then, it's been about everybody else. And, you know, the cool thing for me, this conference, I'm not good on committees. I'm the banquet chair, and I sucked. but you know what? When there's service to be needed, I'm there. And I've been of service all week. I mean, all whatever this weekend is. And it's been awesome, you know, because it's not about me anymore. It's not about me. And I love IKIPAW because you can travel all over the world and you get to meet people that are with you for a lifetime. And that's what this program is. The neat thing that I can tell you is that IKIPAW in 94 was the spinoff of the State Conference of GIKIPAW. And I think we had it, the first one was in 95. So, you know, because of IKIPAW came here in 94, you know, now we have a State Young People's Conference. And, you know, that was awesome. It was awesome. So thank you for coming, and we love y'all. And take care of yourselves. Thank you for giving me my life. Mark I. Come on, baby.
Okay. My name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. I love y'all too. I don't think God loves me. I was back there praying, don't call on me, don't call on me. I didn't even put my name in the hat. Keith did. The bucket, the hat, whatever. My first IKIPAW was in Salt Lake City. So this was like my sixth when we came here. And we were pretty on fire with, was it a fifth? Okay, whatever. We were bidding for the conference to come to Houston, and we put a bus together to come here. And so I don't really like thinking about 1994 because it was like a freaking big black hole and a nightmare in my life. 50 of us, or 50 plus of us, got on a bus and rode from Houston to here overnight. And when we got here, people were running for the phones. They were trying to rent cars to get home, see if they could book airfare. They're like, I'm not getting back on the freaking bus. I mean, it was bad. And I was one of the guys in the back of the bus who was doing my best to make it miserable for everybody else. And so that's how we started the weekend, was getting off the bus being really tired of one another. Some of us that still haven't even spoken to each other as a result of that bus trip. And then we bid, and we didn't get the conference. It went to Hawaii. And I was a little upset about that, and that created a whole scenario where I had to go back to Houston and do a bunch of step work and some inventory work. I had to call Christy C. and make amends for, I'm sorry for what I said, but I'm not sorry for, no, it was, I'm not sorry for what I said, I'm just sorry for how I said it. That was about as good as I could get. And we went to Hawaii, and I didn't go because I was not. It was Keith. I said it's because I was angry. It wasn't, because I went to San Diego instead, and that's the only one I've missed since then. So, you know, the greatest thing about coming to IKIPAW for all these years is just the relationships, and everybody else is talking about it. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, you just build these friendships and these relationships, and there's people. I have friends all over the country. And it happened a little bit at a time. You know, we showed up at Salt Lake and didn't know anybody, and little by little we met people, you know, and it's just astonishing me today that there's not many places in the country that I can't travel to that I don't know somebody. I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm here, let's go to a meeting, or I'm coming to your area. And it's so cool, like Ron was talking about, to get together once a year, to get to come together and spend time with you guys and to spend time with each other and for us to fellowship and to just love on one another. And, you know, that's the greatest thing about all this for me. Anyway, I don't have anything else to say. I'm grateful to be sober. Oh, now I'm...
Yeah,
could you say that a little louder? I was right.
You were right, Mark.
Thank you. Keith.
Let me see it. Yeah, exactly. My name's Keith Ashimoto. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta find it, because I didn't even put it in there. Yeah, I told you. This was a great Icky Paw for me, and not because it went to Hawaii. It's because I gave Mark a 14-year resentment. It was great. I don't got much to say. It was a good time. I think what I can remember is people standing on the tables and going to my state convention in Hawaii is like it's for the newlywed and nearly dead. So there's not people that are young that were going into conventions and having a good time. So they were pretty like relaxed and not doing much. God, I had a list of things I probably would have said, but I didn't put my name in there, so I didn't talk about it. This is the best, this is amazing. I'm so stoked to come here every year. Been coming since New York and, I just love it coming. I love seeing people, year after year. And, there's people here that I definitely wouldn't even drink with, but I still keep coming back to Icky Paw. So, I don't know if that makes any sense, but. God, what else was I going to say? Nothing, I guess. Here's the thing. Icky Paw came to Hawaii. And, I often think about the newcomer when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I often think, like, what's the newcomer hearing here? And I remember getting back home to Hawaii, and we got the conference, and it's coming, and I'm thinking all these great things that we're going to do for the newcomer, and that the newcomer is going to get this opportunity to stay sober and get in service and et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't see any of that happen. Like, I stayed sober, and there's some other people that on the committee that stayed sober, but not until the conference happened. And the conference happened, and there was these two local girls, and they probably have never gotten off the island. They probably never left the island. And they go, wow, look at all these people, and they're our age sober. And it just touched me. I was like, I can't believe that this got to happen, that this got to come here and they got to see this. So, I was really grateful for Icky Paw coming in Hawaii. And it got me involved in service. You know, that's another thing that it did. And I got involved in a lot of service after I served as on Icky Paw. Anyways, let me pick a name that really pick a name. Mark Ivey. Tommy B.
Take your time, Tommy.
Time I get up there, my time will be up.
No, don't stretch till you get up here.
Darn. Oh, my name's Tommy Babuccio, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm not afraid to use my last name here, because I know you can't pronounce it or won't remember it. I have been sober since March 28, 1981. And it just happens to be the exact same day that I went to my first Icky Paw fundraiser back in Chicago. And then I got involved with the bid committee. Had no idea what I was doing. I also, like Ron, my first conference was in Minneapolis. And I went in there. I mean, believe it or not, I was an angry guy. And I heard about all the love at this conference, and I went there, and I stood. They had a pool. It was indoors, and everybody was there throwing each other in the pool and running around, having a great time. I stood there fully clothed like this, going like, come on, love me. Come on. hug me. And it was like people were going around me like I wasn't even there, you know. I didn't even give them the registration until Sunday morning when I was leaving. I gave them the $10. Because I didn't know what the... You can't charge me to be here. You know, so I gave them the $10. And it was a good thing. So I went back home. I'm on my way home, and my sponsor came down there with me, and he told me, you know, I'm complaining about everything. They did everything wrong. Now, I'm about 3 months sober at the time, but they did everything wrong. Not only did Minneapolis do everything wrong, the people, advisory council, we all know they're a bunch of idiots, right? If you've ever bid, you know they don't have a brain between them. Mark, am I right? Absolutely. So I'm complaining all the way home. My sponsor says, Tommy, here's what you do. You go back, and when you get back, you find out when they're going to elect their next bid committee. You have a meeting the week before, elect your own bid committee, and who's to know which one's the real one? He was kidding. I thought it was a great idea. So I get a call, and they want me to come and stand for some kind of position on this bid committee, and I'm like, of course. You know, they've come to their senses. I get there, and I'm from the south side, and there's most of the people on the committee were from the north side. And there's all these people from the south side show up because they don't want anybody from the north side to be the chair. They nominate me. They elect me. I'm about like 90 days sober. And they say, don't worry, we'll be here. We'll support you. I never saw them again. Ever. We go to New York. We lose. We come back. We put on a state conference. But in New York, I met Ron. I met him as I was walking out Sunday morning. Joe. So I met him out. I met him Sunday morning walking out, and we've been friends ever since. Ron and I have roomed together since 1983 at Icky Pod. Everyone, I've missed two for family reasons. But I got to tell you this. This conference never ceases to amaze me, you know. I could not even begin to explain everything that I've received from being here and everything that it's given me. And I can only hope that I can give a little bit of that back. And my goal is to never stop trying. So I just want to say thank y'all. I love y'all. And have a great, great weekend. Is there anybody particular you want me to pick, Joe?
Todd Lucky.
Don't let anybody come to these things.
That's right. There's no age limit.
My name's Todd. I'm an alcoholic. It's great to be here, and, you know, I didn't think I remembered anything from that convention at first. Once you get all, they say it gets better, but they're lying to you. Up here, kind of get, well, it gets better, but then it starts going downward, and you can't remember anything. But it's okay, because you do less 10 steps, right? Exactly. Thank you. I knew that somebody would point that out. But I remembered some really cool things about this convention. And one of them was that the guy that I rode down here with had a lit Easter bunny on the top of his car. And he bolted it down. And then he glued all the grass and stuff. And he had Easter eggs. So, and we went to, I think, Six Flags. And, like, all these people with their kids were going and taking pictures by his car. And he had, like, an old beat-up car, alcoholic car, right? And the Grateful Dead people loved it, too. They were all coming up to our car. Everybody was tripping, and it was a blast. And I started thinking, too, about... there was a... and I'm, see, now I'm losing it again. You got to really get it quick when it comes... It's not coming back. It's not coming back. I don't want to talk about that part. But we bid, I think, here. And that was cool. For Louisville, Kentucky. And we finally got the convention. And there was a girl, when we first started bidding, 89 was my first Icky Paw, too, in Salt my first one was in Nashville, but I was in Salt Lake City. And I met this girl from Georgia, and I swear I can't remember her name now. Who would figure? But for some reason, like, I kept seeing her at every convention because she was doing the bids. And then when the convention was actually here, like, I didn't see her. And it kind of freaked me out, you know, because I was, like, thinking what happened. And I think that I ended up running into her later. So, anyway, I'm going nowhere with this, so I'm going to shut the hell up. Thanks. Charlie S. from Boston.
I don't need a golden watch. I got a black and white one. My name's Charlie. I'm an alcoholic. I know a lot of people in this room. I really do. And I got to sleep last night about 6 o'clock this morning. I didn't sleep at all the night before. I'm caffeinated to the gills, still crazy after all these years. The theme of the conference in Atlanta was Love Can Keep Us Together. That's the first conference I went to in Atlanta. I was just funning with you. My first Young People's Conference was in Philadelphia in 1969. My sobriety day is July 20th, 1968, and my sponsor told me, if you think it's bad now, kid, try it again and see how bad it can get. So I did after almost a year. I went to my first AA meeting on August 1st, 1967, and took a drink somewhere around the end of June in 1968. And 2 weeks later, I woke up out of retrograde amnesia in the accident floor of the Boston City Hospital with two interns looking down at me talking about an exploratory craniotomy. And the third man that was standing there was the orderly on the accident floor, and his name was PJ, and I knew him from Dr. Bob's group in Peabody Square in Boston, down Ashmont. And I looked up and I said, PJ, what are these people talking about, man? I tell them I don't want that, you know. And they looked, do you know this guy? And I said, they said, yeah. I said, hey, wait a minute now, you know, what are the VA, I escaped from the 13th floor of the Jamaica Plain VA hospital. If you play one hand on me, they'll sue you and you lose your practice, your license to practice for the rest of your life. And they looked at him again and said, is he telling the truth? And PJ just went, if he says it's so, it must be so. So that's how I ended up at the VA hospital. That's as bad as I want to see it get. I had a priest come in, offered me the last rites, you know, when they used to call it extreme unction, which means you're going to die. And I said, I'm not going to die. And he said, very seriously, looked at me and said, son, there's a lot of people around here that are very concerned about whether or not you will die. So I took the last rites and got back to AA meetings, because in here, I got what I needed. I went to 69 Young People's Conference just because I knew there was something else around somewhere. I was one of those young people hanging out with the oldest group in Boston, second oldest, excuse me. And I like them guys. I love them guys. Almost all of them are dead now. But matter of fact, my friends are dying off faster than he can stick his fingers up. I'm going to wrap it up right there. Well, thank you for listening. Keep coming back. You know, this does work. Darren B.
I'm Darren. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's February 19th, 1988, and for that I'm forever grateful. My first Icky Paw was in Nashville, and that was awesome. I mean, I think I was 6-7 months sober. My story is that everybody that was going to go from Denver that I was going with bailed at the last 5 minutes, and I had a sponsor who is not the biggest young people's fan, and called this Kicky Paw, Kitty Paw is what he calls it. And I thought that was my way out to not have to go because I was terrified. And he said, get on that plane and go. And I got on that plane and I met some people. And when I got back, he told me you did what I was supposed to do. And he said that this program will teach me by doing an AA way of life, I'll learn to live an AA way of life. And at times I would learn to do what I'm supposed to do. Todd and I were talking about this. Todd's one of those people I met at that first in Nashville. And we used to talk about, was I going to pay the mortgage or am I going to go to Icky Paw? And it used to be, guess what, I'm going to Icky Paw. Am I going to do this or am I going to go to Icky Paw? And it used to be, I'm going to Icky Paw. I didn't miss an Icky Paw from then until New Mexico. And probably the reason why I haven't been to an Icky Paw is today's my two boys' last day of school. And they're 10 and they're 12. And I'm their football coach, I'm their baseball coach, and I do a lot of things with my kids. And I learned to do that in here. That's where I learned to do this. My 12-year-old told me last night that, Dad, it's time for you to do some stuff for you. And that's the miracle of this program. I don't know if it could have been any better with Ron sitting up here than what we did in New Mexico. And that's his story, if you see him blushing. You know, because it's about experiences. It's about meeting people. It's about George speaking at a Saturday night, being on that host committee. Here we have the gay queen from the Northeast up there talking, and the southern eyes looking upon a bunch of young kids back here saying, how the heck did you guys get that guy to speak? And realizing, oh, well, we did what we did. You know, Charlie said it. Charlie said it is, you know what, when I moved down here, What I've got to see is I got the experience to serve on a host committee. And what was really neat is, you know what? I got exposed to Icky Paw initially in Denver by some people that were part of the Atlanta host committee before that. One of my neat things is after 21 years, you know what, is somebody who served on that first Atlanta committee seems to show up at my birthday meeting at my home group in Robert because he's best friends with the guy who shares the same month birthday that I do. And you know what? We just continue to do this, you know. Enjoy it. It's an experience. You know, I'm okay with getting older. You know what? Because you guys taught me what's important and what I do. And you know what? My children show me that and they tell me that. And for that, I'm forever grateful. Thank you.
So it's 2009, we're at Icky Paw in Atlanta, Georgia. The theme is Carry the Vision. Theme of this meeting, 1994, Atlanta, Icky Paw, Together We Fly. Our last speaker, it's going to take about 10 minutes, Charlie alluded to it. Icky Paw was here in Atlanta in 1978. The theme was Love Will Keep Us Together. Robert, take us up.
My name's Robert. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Robert. Love you, Robert. Lots and lots and lots.
Thank you. My heart is full of joy. Sitting up here looking out is a different view from sitting out there looking up. My home group is the Skyland Group here in Atlanta, Georgia, and my sobriety date is October 19th, 1975. And Mark, who I believe left, talked about taking a bus from Houston to Atlanta. Well, in 1977, 53 of us got on a bus and took a bus from Atlanta to Houston. So what goes around comes around. And we were there for the purpose of bidding on having the Occupy in Atlanta in 1978. And this is partly historical fact and part of it's editorial, if there's anybody from the advisory council out there. In 1977, the bidding process was different. And the most important thing in the bidding process was the need. And we were supposed to demonstrate that, of course, that we were capable of having a hotel contract and having room rates and providing coffee. But the most important thing that the advisory council looked at was the whole issue of carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffered. And if you had the most compelling need, that's where the Occupy went. I was on the bid committee. The bidding, like I said, was completely different then. Mostly what we talked about was the need in the Atlanta area. And boy, we needed it badly. But we did win it. We brought it back here. We had no idea at all what we were doing. I have some financial expertise. I was the treasurer of the Occupy here in 1978. Charlie referred to the theme of the conference, which was love will keep us together. One of the anecdotal stories of the conference, back in those days, having a big gathering of young people that were sober was big news. And one of the local TV channels sent a camera crew out to the Occupy to film our meetings. Of course, we had a public relations committee, and we met them at the door, and we said, well, you can't do that. You can't shoot any faces. And they were very much taken aback, and they wanted film to, you know, play at 6 and 11. So we said, well, you can pan the literature table. So they started at one end of the literature table, and they went on down to the end. And down at the end of the literature table was the official conference T-shirt of the 1978 Occupy. And the official conference T-shirt on the front, it said, sleep with a winner. And on the back, it said, I'm a winner. Charlie was there. He remembers that. That's what got on the news at 6 and 11. Needless to say, our conference committee got a letter from GSO. And Charlie, I want to talk to you after the meeting because my daughter just moved to Jamaica Plain. When the Occupy was held here in 94, I was on an old-timers panel. And the committee also asked me if I would be an advisor. And I went to a committee meeting and sat in the back, and there was some kind of contention about some issue. And all at the same time, everybody in the room said, well, what does Robert think? And everybody turned around. And I saw everybody's face, and I thought about our committee. And we had an advisor. He never went to any committee meetings. We never had any advice. We muddled through things, and we worked it out the way that you work things out with group conscience and all that. And I said, I don't know. You guys got to work it out. And I didn't go to any more committee meetings, but I was an advisor, and I was on the old-timers panel. When, and I know this Atlanta group has been very active in bidding for this conference, and they went and bid on it a number of years. And the night in Oklahoma City that the bid was awarded to Atlanta, I got a text message on my phone from a young man, high sponsor, who was on the bid committee. One of the members of the committee asked me if I would try to find other people that were on that committee. And so I went through all of my old records, and I'm not at all happy to say that the chairman of the committee has passed away. The co-chairman of our 1978 committee died Tuesday night. Our program chairman died about 3 months ago. I went to all of these funerals. Some of the other prominent members of our committee have moved out of town. As far as I know, every single one of us achieved continuous sobriety up until today. And the three that passed away did die sober. That's one of the things that happens if you don't drink and you don't die. Your buddies start dying off, like Charlie said. In 2003, my sponsor, who had been my sponsor for 25 years, passed away fairly suddenly from an accident. And I found myself completely lost. I was lost. And what I found was that my program had grown very broad, but very thin. It was very wide, but it wasn't very deep. And I see some people shaking their heads because they understand what I'm saying. And I was lost. And I couldn't find any conscious contact with my higher power. And I didn't know what to do. And the only thing that I knew how to do was to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Because in my whole life, going to 90 meetings in 90 days is the only thing that has ever really changed things for me. So I started out to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And one of the meetings that I went to, which is close to my house, is the Northside Young People's Group that meets at St. Martin in the Fields Episcopal Church on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And I got in there lost with a whole bunch of years of sobriety, and the young people swept me into their arms, and they took care of me, and they showed me the meaning of love and the meaning of sobriety. If y'all run into me this weekend, give me a hug, tell me your name, tell me where you're from. My friends, the people that I got sober with, are generally not here this weekend. So I'm in the process of making new friends, and I hope you will become one of them. Thank you.
Well, that's it. We're at the end. Go find another meeting. I'd like to thank all my speakers. There's some stuff to read, but we're just going to end with the Lord's Prayer.